This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Let's spend some time in the box on TSN 1200, recapping yesterday and giving you a head start on today.
Josh in the gun, second and goal from the 8. Takes the handoff, wants the throw, fires one into the end zone, caught! It is a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, touchdown Buffalo. An 8-yard shot from Josh Allen. He threw it on the money for the Buffalo touchdown.
In the box.
Monahan has Dock in front. He goes to Suzuki. Suzuki. Caulfield, score!
Hand off for Haskinen, and Robertson gets it back. Shot, score! And here come the Hats.
TSN 1200.
Kelma Carr. It's a household name. Back to his own zone for Devontae's. McCarr has it. That's Forrest Gump reference. McCarr now for McKinnon. He holds. He shoots. He scores.
The puck comes around the net. Here's Hughes. He has Bo. He scores.
Woo!
Devils. Kevin Bo. First of the year. And welcome back.
Baller. In the box.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is execution. I think we gave away the puck way too often. I think we made it too easy for them to get to the net. Not hard enough around our net, not hard enough around their net. And I expect that'll be different tonight.
Now with Kenny Walls, here's Steve Lloyd.
2-hour edition of the show today. Welcome to it. In between World Cup matches, we'll take you till 2 o'clock, and then at 4, it will be a 1-hour edition of The Drive. And then at 5, I'll be back with a pregame show for a Senators game day. Sens in New York now to take on the Rangers after falling to the Rangers on home ice this past Wednesday. Welcome to it. You can reach us at 12-1200. Your standard text message rate supply. It is Steve Lloyd and Kenny Walls with you this afternoon. Kenneth, game day for you as well. You looking sharp?
I am, yeah. I think, well, I'm not the person to ask. I believe I look good.
Okay.
But who knows? It's Christmas time, so it's into the Christmas season.
Okay. Can we see you from space?
No.
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 Okay. Do you own a suit that has a little battery power to it?
Nope.
You don't? I bet you your suit people make something like that, though, that you could do that, I bet. I'm sure they do. It seems to be that would be something up their alley.
I haven't seen anything along those lines, but I may have missed it. There may have been something new. I haven't looked recently.
You could be a walking Christmas tree, I'm sure.
That'd be fun.
With the lights blinking on and off?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe? Okay. Well, 67's game tonight. That'll be on Brother Station, 580 CFRA. Senators game here. World Cup continues. So let's get right to it. Send your text in at 12-1200. Big news from the Red Blacks about a half hour ago. As Farhan Lalji had reported a couple of days ago, they had whittled their list down to 3, which included interim head coach Bob Dice, and the interim tag has been removed. Bob Dice is the new head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks. There will be a news conference at 2 o'clock, and I know during the 4 o'clock hour, Lee will have a lot more on this on the drive in the brief 1 hour edition of the drive today. But this seemed to be what the players wanted. You certainly got that sense, especially when you speak to Lee, who's close to the team, AJ, who's really close to the team, that if you had to kind of handicap this from the get-go, I think this is where it was headed, but it's important to go through your process, right? And that's exactly what Sean Burke did. Went and interviewed other candidates, got it down to a final 3, apparently, but in the end, went with somebody that the players absolutely respect, that's been with the organization for quite some time, and now is going to get his first chance, really, to be a full-time head coach, because this time and the previous time in Saskatchewan is when, I think it was Corey Chamberlain that was fired, I believe it was, when he took over for the rest of that season a number of years ago. But Bob Dice is the full-time new head coach of the Ottawa Redblacks. Quick quote here from Sean Burke, the general manager. We're excited to bring Coach Dice back as the third head coach in Ottawa Redblacks history. Bob is not only an excellent coach, but also a great man who personifies leadership. Bob will continue to inspire players to reach new heights as he leads us into a new era of Redblacks football in Ottawa. So there will be an official news conference coming up at 2 this afternoon, and we'll have a lot more on that throughout the day, especially in the 4 o'clock hour when Lee guides you through the drive as well. So, Kenny, maybe let's start there. Your thoughts on the Redblacks basically going through the procedure, but in the end, I think they circled back to basically the guy that they know, and they know that he fits, and they know that the players respect him. So in the end, I would think it was somewhat, never easy, but somewhat of an easy answer to come up with Bob Dice's name to continue.
Yeah, and I absolutely love the fact that they went through the whole process. Because, Lloydie, we know that the interview process, it can bring a lot of outside information and outside thought process about your team and how it's constructed and how you can go about helping to fix it. And when you talk to a lot of good people or good professionals that are applying for the job and want to get in, you can learn a lot about your team. So I like the fact that Sean Burke went about the entire process, even though I'm assuming that Bob Dice was always that front runner and you know what Bob Dice is. You go through the process, you can learn a lot about your team, your organization, and the viewpoint from outside. I love the fact that they went through that process to do it. And then to bring back Bob Dice, players want to run through a wall for him. It's clear to see. You talked about the players, they wanted him back, and you can see why. He's an easy guy to play for. He's demanding, and he knows that. But when you know that you're demanding and you know that the players know that you're demanding, you can get a lot out of those players, especially when they respect where you're coming from and that you'll go through a wall for them too. I love the hiring. I think it's absolutely awesome. Great opportunity for him to get his first real chance at this. And I'm happy for him.
All right, so the official news is coming up at 2, but the Redblacks made the announcement just after 11:30 this morning. Bob Dice, full-time head coach of the Redblacks after taking over on an interim basis for the rest of last season. Big Rick likes it. Rolling the dice. I like it. Fellas, now nail down Maldon. Yeah, it'd be nice to get Lorenzo Maldon and his name back on a brand-new contract for sure. Brent sent this in. I told Kenny and I sent Kenny and Creature, and Brent, I'm going to read your text and I'll tell you a story. You're not far off here. Good afternoon, lads. After the last couple of days, it's obvious that Paola is still alive and well in the radio industry. Steve does a little rant about the price of clementines in the grocery stores this year, and presto, the very next day, commercials start to run at TSN 1200 about large boxes of clementines on sale at Loblaws and Independent Grocer. I just hope Steve is sharing some of his free bounty with the other folks at the station. Comes from Brent.
What makes a great holiday snack, a fun stocking stuffer, and a delicious ingredient in holiday dishes? Clementines, of course. Pick up a 5-pound case of large clementines for $3.99 at your Independent Grocer. Offer valid until December 7th. Holidays solved.
So I heard that ad for the first time yesterday morning. I'm listening to the fine gentleman on TSN Mornings and J.R. and Simmer and Hammer, and I hear that ad, and it was the day before we got talk, because Creature brought it up, and he loves clementines. Who doesn't love clementines, right? Oh, it's so good. And then I started to whine because I was, you know, I do a lot of the shopping, and I was in a couple of different stores recently, and the most recent I was at Costco, and it was like $7 a crate. I'm like, what is going on here? It's just par for the course, right? How many of us listening right now, you can say that about most items. Like, I can't believe that's the price of that now. That's the way it's going these days. Anyways, so I whined about that. It wasn't that long, Brent, but it came up. You're right. And then I'm listening yesterday morning, and no word of a lie, within 10 minutes I heard that ad. I left the house, and I went down to the Independent that's close to the house, and I bought 2 crates. And I pounded about 10 yesterday morning. Oh, they were good. They were good, Kenny. Thank you, Brent. Shows you're paying attention. It's clementine season.
I still have yet to go get some. I may stop in on my way to the rink today.
All right.
Get a crate for up in the broadcast row.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a nice treat, eh? Oftentimes, over the years, I remember around the holiday season, media at various events, if you're out in the event, would bring candies or whatever. I remember McCoy. Ben McCoy used to bring like Ferrero Rochers to people sitting in the press box.
Ooh,
yeah, nice, eh? And it always a lot of that goes on. That would be. I've never seen anybody bring clementines for a gift, Kenny. I think you're onto something. I think you need to do that.
I probably won't, but I could.
Yeah, come on. You got to pick up some clementines before you head down to the rink tonight, and you bring them in for everybody. How about that?
I could.
Be popular.
Yeah, but it's the people that are there. Like, who do I want to be popular with? Brandon Mackey sits beside me. Rossi Pasternak, the content guy, is beside him. And then Frankie Benvenuti beside him. Maybe JF Plant sits in front of me sometimes. I'd want to impress JF, but nobody else.
Yeah.
I don't care about anybody else.
I forgot. You don't like people. That's right.
No, I've already impressed them enough. It's fine.
I've already. All right. Well, thank you, Brent. Yes, that's a true story, Brent. True story. I heard that ad for the first time, and I left the house within 10 minutes. And I went and got myself a couple of crates of fine clementines. Okay, so the Bob Dice news is huge. We'll continue to cover that. Want to hit on a few other things here in our first segment because we got a short show. Gord's going to join us. Kenny had a chance to speak to Will Cranley, who's making his return to Ottawa tonight. We're going to run that for you. DJ Smith has spoken, so we'll run that. Drake Batherson also spoke this morning from MSG, so we'll get a full preview of all of that. But let's go back to this. We've been talking about this a lot lately because the deadline was coming, and we discussed it. I don't think anybody's surprised here. That the deadline came and went at 5 Eastern yesterday, and Alex Formanton did not sign a contract and was not traded. So now his only option, if he's going to play hockey, it's going to be overseas. So is he going to sign in the KHL or another league for the rest of this season and see how everything else plays out? And as we touched on this off and on for months and more recently, I can tell you this. Yes, when people say there was interest, yes, there was interest in Alex Formanton. That's legit. That's 100% accurate. There is interest in Alex Formanton from other teams. But there's a big difference between interest and willing to give up assets right now to acquire this player with so much uncertainty. And that's what it came down to, obviously. Nobody was willing to do that. And I don't blame other teams. I'm not surprised at all, Kenny, that there is no other team in the NHL that was willing, you know, to take that risk right now about a player with so much uncertainty.
No, zero. Zero surprise. I thought that it only takes one, though, Lloydie, and I thought somebody may have been desperate enough to step out on that ledge, but that would have been a surprise to me had somebody given up actual assets. And what was the rumored asking or price offer?
Frank Saravelli said, yeah, Frank Saravelli was the only person I saw that put out a firm ask. Hearing it was a second-round pick is what they were asking, and nobody was willing to meet that even. So.
Yeah, and if you're the Ottawa Senators, is that worth it? And you have to balance everything out, and I don't know what could come out of the investigations. I have no idea, but clearly that has an impact on what's going on. With so much uncertainty and nobody willing to give out futures for this player, I don't know. If you're the Ottawa Senators, do you just cut bait at that point? And if you got that offer, would you have accepted it? I don't know. Because you're trying to build out something within your organization. And on the ice, that player helps you. And helps you in a big way in what you're trying to do. So I'm not surprised that no deal got done, either with another team or with Formanton. Now it's just a matter of where he's going to play.
All right, and when you go back, hindsight's 2020. But I remember I brought this up at the time, because the other being the uncertainty of what's going on with the Hockey Canada investigation and all of that. In hindsight, if Alex Formanton just signed his qualifying offer, he'd be playing right now because every other player that's an NHL player that was on that 2018 team is playing in the league right now. Everybody is, and he was the only one without a contract. And here you go, and he's not playing. So I'm sure if he put his hindsight glasses back on, he would have signed his QO. back in the summer. Now, nuts and bolts time on that, because I saw this question come up a few times. The Sens hold his rights until he's 27 years old. They don't have to re-qualify him every year. Like, they qualified him, he rejected it, he's on their official reserve list, and that's it. So the Senators hold full control of the situation. They're still the door to the NHL. It's either Ottawa or whomever Ottawa decides to trade the rights to Alex Formanton. If and when that happens, I think. I don't get the sense. Stranger things have happened. I don't get the sense that Alex Formanton's going to play again for the Ottawa Senators. We'll see what the rest of this year brings in the offseason. But we know this. He's not going to play in the NHL this season. And now we'll just see where he signs in Europe. Because apparently he's been skating in the Toronto area, staying in shape, and that'll be the next step. He's got to, you know, get out and get playing somewhere, and then we'll see how the next few months play out on that front. So any thoughts on that? Are you surprised at all? We get the odd text on this. And myself and Kenny, Creature, and CJ, and whoever is doing in the box on a certain day, we've often asked this question amongst ourselves. So I'll bring it out into the open here. We've got some really dumb texts on this over the last number of months. And sometimes we can't tell if it's one or the other. Is it people just being trolls and asking questions that it's like, come on, are you just being a Richard, as we like to say? Pat Quinn let us use the other word, right? But we'll go with Richard instead. Or are you that naive? Right, Kenny? Like, Pierre Dorion had been asked about this a few times, and you could tell the way he answered the question is just, I'm shutting this down. I am not going down this road at all. And he stopped speaking within 5 seconds of the question being asked, basically, on the subject. And implying that the two things are not related. An ongoing investigation of a national team that the player played on back in 2018, or is it just an old-fashioned contract negotiation and these things happen? I mean, it's not just one thing. Like, and that's not to sit here and say that somebody is guilty, but I pick a sport. Nobody likes uncertainty for whatever reason. Am I committing to this player? And if I'm thinking about trading for this player, I want to know I'm getting the player. No matter whatever the reason is that I possibly might not be getting the player, because we just don't know at this stage. So that's why he wasn't traded yesterday. And we don't see many players go really close to that December 1st deadline. It doesn't happen very often. William Nylander is the biggest, most high-profile example of that in recent years. But honestly, we don't see players of Alex Formanton's ilk get that close, right? Alex Formanton's a good young player. This isn't a top line, like, not at a Nylander level. Let's put it that way. And he had no arbitration rights. I mean, those kind of deals, they usually don't hit impasses that bring you right up close to December 1st. So, anyways, Alex Formanton's not going to be playing in the league this year, and we'll see what happens next year. All right, thoughts on that, send it in at 12-1200. Thoughts on Bob Dice being the now full-time head coach of the Ottawa Redblacks. I want to talk a little bit about the Dallas Stars at some point if we have time in this brief show. I mean, my goodness, Jason Robertson. Kenny, did you have any idea he was going to be that good when he played in Kingston at the NHL level?
He just had the knack, like Tyler Toffoli did, at that same level, as the puck just goes in. Doesn't matter where he shoots it from, it finds a way in. And it doesn't matter how he shoots it, it goes in. I didn't think it would translate this well to the NHL level, but he had that knack for goal scoring.
Another huge night for him last night, and the Stars, so we'll hit on that. All right, we'll start to roll through some of your sound as well. Hear from DJ Smith and Drake Batherson. Gord Wilson will join us as well. We'll take you till 2 o'clock into the next World Cup match, then a one-hour edition of The Drive. More on Bob Dice with that. The official newser is at 2. Lee will have all kinds of coverage on that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour on The Drive. And then 5 o'clock, I'll be back for your pregame show It is the Sens at MSG to take on the Rangers tonight on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Lee that hates David Wilcox, I can't keep up with the things he hates. Like, doesn't Matty play some David Wilcox just to annoy Lee?
I don't know, maybe. So.
Maybe. Take a number, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Does Gord annoy us sometimes? Never, right? Never. Well, Gord's going to join us in our next segment. So ahead of that, why don't we play you some sound that Gord Wilson sent to us from Madison Square Garden from New York earlier today to tee up the game. First up, let's hear from head coach DJ Smith.
You have that opportunity to make a change or two to your lineup. Are you anticipating? And no Derek Brassard, so let's start there.
Yeah, Gambrell in, Brassard out. We'll see how he is. Reevaluate him for tomorrow, see if he can go in the back-to-back. The defense will decide tonight.
And looks as though Cam Talbot in goal again?
Yeah, he'll go again.
What do you need to do from your hockey club? I know you sort of complained a little bit about attention to detail and execution after Wednesday's game.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is execution. I think we gave away the puck way too often. I think we made it too easy for them to get to the net. Just probably not hard enough around our net, not hard enough around their net. And I expect that'll be different tonight.
Two straight wins on the road for your hockey club. What are you seeing from your team that's a little bit different from how you started on the road this year?
Well, we've played well on the road of late. I thought Vegas probably could have gone better, too. More simple, probably not trying to make the high-end plays or impress anyone. For whatever reason, at home, we've had our struggles of late, but the guys seem real loose and ready this morning.
What do you need to get Drake going, Drake Batherson? A rough month for him. What when he's playing his best, what's he need to do?
Well, he's got to shoot more, be physical. I thought first period was real good for him. I thought the other day, if one goes in, it's amazing what can happen. He missed an empty net there on the power play in, I think it was Anaheim or LA. LA. Yeah. He had an empty net there and it didn't go in. And sometimes you just squeeze and you need one to go in. And I thought his first period was real good. Then he dropped off. So I need 60 out of him tonight. I need him to be physical. I need him to get shots. I need him to get to the net.
You said physical. It's part of everything, right? You get into a game.
Physical is for me, with him, is holding on to the puck, getting under at the net, not letting guys strip you, driving it wide. That's physical for me. He's going to get the hits here and there, forecheck. But physical on the puck, physical offensively.
The one on performance, and I know a coach can't coach the players he has here. Formanton's not going to be here this year. Thoughts on what you've lost without him?
Well, it's clear. I mean, he's one of the most dangerous penalty killers in the league. Unbelievable speed. He's not going to be here, so there's not much we can do.
All right, so there's DJ Smith on tonight's game. Talbot starts, Brassard's out, Gambrell's in. Zaitsev was recalled, and DJ Smith did not commit to who's going to be in or out on the blue line. Said they'll make that decision tonight because with Zaitsev recalled, they are carrying one extra D, as they only had six healthy on the roster for the game on Wednesday against the Rangers. Drake Batherson's name came up a lot during that availability. Here is the Senators' right winger.
Looking forward to tonight after a disappointing first game of this back-to-back.
Yeah, no, obviously it's exciting Friday night, and MSG doesn't get too much better than that.
What do you see that your team has to do to get a different result?
Yeah, I think we just, at times, I think we played good last game. Just doing the same thing we did in LA. I thought we played a full game there and obviously got rewarded, so just trying to do that. Obviously, we had a long road trip. Feeling better now, finally catching up on the sleep, so should be ready to go.
What does Drake Batherson have to do to get your game going?
Yeah, I think just keep winning my battles, maybe play a little more physical and just keep shooting the puck. I've been getting a lot of shots, but I know they're bound to go in soon enough, so hopefully that comes tonight and we'll see. I think just focusing as a team to play a full 60 and get a big win here.
DJ says, for, in your case, playing physical means holding on to the puck and, I guess, grinding down low. Is that kind of how you see it, too?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just winning your battles out there, taking them one shift at a time, and, yeah, hanging on the pucks, making plays. That's the same thing as, you know, finishing your hits. It's all in the same physical category, so let's try to do that.
When you were on that roll, you had that, what, 8 games in a row with a goal. Like, is it just... what happens when you're scoring? Is it just so much more confident with the puck?
Yeah, no, I think every guy in the league goes through it. I mean, you see guys struggle and then they score 20 in the next 40. I feel like unless you're a guy who scores 50 or 60 every year, you're scoring almost every night. But I feel like most guys are up and down during the season, and that's the toughest part about the NHL, just being a consistent scorer and making plays. So, you know, try to get that going tonight.
All right, there's Drake Batherson. He did lead the team in shots last game with 6 and shot attempts with 8. But the bar that the bar he has set for himself with his level of play, it has not been there consistently at all this season. And he knows it, coach knows it. And we'll see if, you know, getting 6 shots on goal the other night is a step in the right direction for Drake Batherson. We'll take a break. We'll get Gord's thoughts on that. We'll get Gord's thoughts on the game and coming off the loss to the Rangers. It's the back half of the home and home tonight. And it's the first half of first back-to-back for the team this season. Tomorrow night, Erik Karlsson and the San Jose Sharks will be in town to take on the Senators. But first things first, at MSG tonight, 5 o'clock pregame show, 7 o'clock face-off on TSN 1200. All right, 12:43, game day. 7 o'clock face-off, Madison Square Garden tonight. Sens and the Rangers for the second straight game. Rangers coming off the 3-1 win over the Sens Wednesday night back here in Ottawa. I'll be back for a pregame show starting at 5 this evening. We'll take you till 2, break away for some World Cup. 1 hour edition of The Drive coming your way with Lee and Maddie. And, just confirmed, Red Blacks general manager Sean Burke will be a guest on The Drive at around 4:20 this afternoon. If you missed the news, the Red Blacks have confirmed that Bob Dice is their new head coach. The interim tag has been removed. To the Gabriel Pizza Hotline we go. To Manhattan. To Gord Wilson. We'll have the call with Dean Brown tonight. Gord, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Just fine, thank you. Congrats to Coach Dice. That's fabulous to see somebody rewarded for his efforts. Love to hear that. I don't know the man personally, but I've heard nothing but good things. So, yeah, that's great news for the Red Blacks.
All right. I was going to make you in Section Double D joke, but we'll move on.
What?
You'll have the call
my Red Blacks days, right.
That's right. What was the chant here? You know you want it. What with the beers?
Yeah, it was a beer slinger by the name of Shortstack.
That's
and
right. Yes.
Shortstack would come in and he would dominate the section and he would yell, "You know you want it," and hold up a Coors Light or whatever beer he was trying to pitch, and everybody got off their wallets because they all wanted it. Fantastic! Yeah, it was great atmosphere up in Section Double D.
Right. Well, congratulations to Bob Dice. We'll have more on that throughout the day here. And we've got a game to get to. 5 o'clock pregame show, 7 o'clock face-off, Sens and the Rangers. We just played DJ Smith. We just played Drake Batherson. Tyler Mott, you spoke to him yesterday. And
yeah.
As that wrapped up there, Gord, did you go enjoy the city? He said, go enjoy the city. You know, he has a little of experience as a Ranger.
Yeah, you know what? I went for a nice walk. We're in the Flatiron district and went for a nice walk yesterday afternoon. It was quite nice. It's different on the streets of New York. It can be exhilarating, it can be eye-opening, and it can be very sad all at the same time. And yeah, some of the things that I witnessed in about half an hour's worth of time on walking. Yeah, you know, somebody was upset with something in life, and I think it was garbage day yesterday, and this young man proceeded to try and rip open as many garbage bags as possible and dump them all over the middle of the street. Yeah, it's tough, you know, to watch that kind of thing because there's some troubled souls out there, and anyway, it's New York.
Gord, you've been doing this for a long time now because you're old, do you still get the same feeling going back to MSG that you did the first time? Is it still that special place to go into?
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought of Shane Pinto today, who's going to be playing his first ever NHL game at MSG. And, of course, he'll have some family and friends here, no doubt. Mark Kastelic, was another, but he played here last year. His first was, I think, in April of last season when he got called up at the end of the season. But, yeah, for us, Kenny, it's interesting because since the $1 billion worth of renovations have been completed, we're in just a wonderful broadcast location. And we've had three or four different ones, including one for a couple of years that were in the stands. And we were probably about 15 at center ice, about 15 rows up. And, well, I can tell you at one point we were sitting beside Liam Neeson and Aiden Quinn. In fact, I think I gave one of the kids my Senators media guide at the time. It was near the end of the season, and let them take a look at it. Anyway, we've had some odd locations currently, and from now until forever, we're in one of the best locations in the league. So it's still very, very special, without question. And there was some sort of concert last night hosted by Nick Cannon, and anywhere you went in the building, and I wandered a little bit today, anywhere you went, the smell of marijuana was very, very prominent. So if I'm talking a little faster here, no,
I'm saying, slower.
Yeah, it was pretty ripe. Let's put it that way.
All right. We've covered a lot of ground here in the first 5 minutes.
Take a picture.
And we haven't got to the game yet and the hockey players.
Theater of the mind. Well, I've stalled enough to actually scroll through the Senators media guide to get the Senators record here at MSG. They're actually, they have a better record here at Madison Square Garden, winning record than losing record. They're 29-16-2 at MSG.
All time.
Pretty impressive. All time.
And that's saying something. What would it be when you take out the first four seasons of Senators hockey?
They had one win. You're right. I'm looking at it right now. They had one win in the first four seasons. And then they went on a stretch where two wins and, well, it was 06, 07 starting. Two wins, one win, two wins, one. And this was all around the time that Henrik Lundqvist was in goal and in his prime. And for whatever reason, he had a hard time against the Senators. I can look up his all-time record at some point. I can guarantee that he had, I won't guarantee it, but I would think at MSG he had more losses than wins against Ottawa over the years.
Well, Rangers were tooth and nail to beat the Senators in a 7-game series, and then they ended up losing the Senators in another playoff as well when the Sens went to the conference final in 2017. Okay. To the Senators, we played DJ Smith, we played Drake Batherson, and there was a lot of talk about Drake Batherson with DJ in the availability that you had, and I think it was Ken Warren there as well asking some of the questions. How do you feel about Drake Batherson's game right now, and what does he need to do to get his game back to that level that we've seen it at? And like, if there's a time scored, we just like, this guy's a point of game guy. He's a point of game guy. He can be a good power forward in the league. It's just been so sporadic this season.
Inconsistent. That's the best way to put it. You're exactly right. And I actually, after our scrum, I walked down the hall with him. And it's beneficial to those of us in my position to, if you're critical of a player on the air, and I have been quite a bit and certainly was the other night, I went over and talked to him just privately to say, look, I've been a little bit critical here, and I want to know if it's, in your eyes, if it's justified. And he said yes. So he's not living up to his own expectations. He's not nonchalant about it because it's bothering him. He was first on the ice today, bucket of pucks and firing them here, there, and everywhere. Thomas Chabot, I think, was the third guy out, and he was passing him the puck. So they've obviously talked about, trying to get him going a little bit more. He's got to shoot more. I've always said, you and I have had this discussion, Steve, we've always said that his game is better when he's physical. And it doesn't necessarily have to be physical of just going over and running over somebody or bouncing off somebody. It's being physical on the puck, and DJ summed it up by saying we need him to hold on to the puck more. And his confidence can wane when you are looking at an open net and a power play, and this happened in Los Angeles in the 2-1. It was a 2-1 game at the time for Ottawa, and he fired wide of an open net. And the first thing I look at when that happens is, well, A, where the puck is going to go off the rim around, and B, what's the reaction of the player? And his eyes went skyward after that happened, because it's happened a few times. And I think there's a level of frustration to his game that has to get out of his game. And I think to do that, you go back to the basics. You get on the practice ice and be on the first on the ice with a bucket of pucks, and you shoot pucks from all different angles. And you also need to get yourself engaged and just keep it simple during a game. And I'm guessing that he'll keep things as simple as possible here tonight and just bear down to play his style of game. And his style of game is being heavy on the puck.
Gord, Steve and I discussed Batherson yesterday and thought that he played a better game than the low bar that he had set for himself earlier in the season, giveaway aside, obviously. And yeah, it seemed like he played that heavier style and not overly physical throwing giant hits, but harder on the puck. Did you notice the same thing? And can that be a step in the positive direction for him and a stepping stone to where he needs to get to?
Well, it certainly can, but Kenny, and it's an interesting observation that you bring up, because his first period the other night was really good. And I think he had three or four, maybe even more, shots on goal or directed.
He had four in the first. You're right. His first was his best, and then it went downhill.
And then it went downhill. And, you know, I don't know how much people put a stock into the plus minus, but he's the runaway leader for the Green Jacket at minus 16 on this team. And the dash 16 occurred when it was 1-0 New York, and he had the puck in his own end and blindly backhanded it through the middle of the ice in his own zone, and it's intercepted and it's a goal. And those are the kinds of things that frustrated, struggling with confidence players do. And like I started the conversation with him today, guys, by saying, I've seen all 167 of your games. And he looked at me and he said, yeah. And I said, and when your game is on, and the majority of them I've seen, you've been on. But, and then got into the conversation about being physical, and when his game is off, he's doing things like that, and it's tough sometimes. He made a great play on the Shane Pinto goal to make it a 2-1 game, but it's tough sometimes to build off that when on your next shift you perhaps turn the puck over or you're overthinking things and not doing what comes instinctively and naturally. And I think that's been part of his problem. By all accounts, he's at full health. The ankle injury, that he's no lingering effects of an ankle injury. It's just, to me, it appears to be just inner confidence more than anything else. And what's he gone? 7 games now without a goal. You expect him to contribute. I honestly thought he's a better passer than, well, I shouldn't say he's a better passer than shooter, because he does both very well, but he seems to pick up more assists than he does goals, and I thought maybe he'd have a few more by now. But again, you know, with all the juggling in the lineups since Josh Norris went down, he's probably been affected by it as well.
Not to, speaking with Gord Wilson from New York, not to just pick on Drake Batherson too much, it's I mean, the other night, Gord, it was disheartening for Sens fans, because you're hoping, is there momentum with this group coming off the trip, especially the way that they played in LA and closed that game out and got a great play in overtime to get the extra point. But you're like, okay, they come back home here. And unfortunately, we just saw so many of the same mistakes. I mean, that Batherson giveaway ended up in the back of the net. There were others that didn't get in the back of the net. There were, like, I thought, Gord, that third goal kind of summed up what's wrong with the Senators this season. You have an offensive zone faceoff. You win the draw. Yeah. It's a soft touch back to Shabbat. Kreider gets on him, gets past. Okay, fine. You're still in okay shape off the rush. Kreider, he ends up in the front of that. Nobody touches him the entire way. We'll get to that. Zibanejad ends up getting it behind the net, rims it. It's a rim to his defenseman, and nobody's near Lindgren. Nobody. Yeah. And then he just has all the time in the world. Oh, I'll put it on goal, because Zub thinks he's releasing Stützle. Stützle doesn't realize that. Nobody takes Kreider. It's in the back of your net. That's the offensive zone faceoff, and there were a myriad of shoot yourself in the foot mistakes that ended up in the back of your net, Gord. Sorry, there's my rant. It's only one goal. But these things have to get cleaned up at some point.
It's a good rant and very much warranted. And yes, self-infliction has been the theme of this team's first quarter of the season. I have zero qualms about saying that. On a regular basis, it's been said. Another game where they just shot themselves in the foot. They've created problems for themselves. It hasn't been the other team. It's been themselves. And you're right. It does have to get cleaned up. And it's the little things, and I think the coach is stressing going into tonight's game, attention to detail here. The good teams pay very close attention to detail, and the good teams win more than two in a row. And this team had an opportunity to win more than two in a row, obviously coming out of Los Angeles. I'm not going to make any excuses. The return home can be fatiguing. The fact that they looked as though they sort of ran out of gas emotionally, they might have been a little more drained than they normally are after a win. And so combination of factors, but again, no excuse, Steve. The bottom line is, and it's the easiest lesson to learn, it's the hardest one to execute. If you're fatigued, keep it simple. It's as simple as that. You just have to overcome the fatigue with the simplest of solutions. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to figure out. And you try and make that blind pass in the slot in your own end because you hear somebody call for it or whatever it might be. And the next thing you know, it's in the back of the net and there's another toe that you've shot off because you keep shooting yourself in the foot. And at some point, something's got to give here. You've got to stop it. And we'll see if tonight's any different.
Gord, with Brassard banged up and not playing tonight, some tweaks to the power play will be coming. Did you notice anything at the morning skate today?
Yeah, interesting that you bring this up because Mark Kastelic was some net front presence on the second unit. I think he was out there with Claude Giroux, Matthew Joseph, Shane Pinto, and Jake Sanderson as the second unit. And we really got to notice Mark, and it's hard not to miss him. He's 6'3", 233 pounds. He's got probably about 10 pounds of beard on his face, and so he's easily noticeable. He's a big, big man, and one of the reasons he caught our eye on the power play was because he inadvertently blocked a shot from, Giroux out in front and went down in a heap, but we really took notice that, yes, he's on the power play, and then the next time that unit came out, he was out there again. So we'll see if Big Mark can create some havoc in front of Shesterkin, who's expected to start tonight, who, by the way, is only 4-4-2 on home ice this year. Mark will be that net front presence, I believe, on the second unit this evening.
Do you think that there is a chance that Zaitsev will play tonight, Gord? He's been recalled because you want to have an extra body around on the road. Is that just a recall for just in case, or do you think there's a chance DJ puts him into the lineup?
My own guess is it's a just-in-case scenario here. They need a physical presence in front of the net, as evidenced by the three goals that the Rangers scored the other night that you've already brought up. So whether Nikita Zaitsev can provide that any better than a Nick Holden or an Eric Brandstrom or a Travis Hamonic, or those would be the three options to come out. And I'm guessing we can eliminate Hamonic from his play against Sanderson, and he's probably Ottawa's most physical defenseman. Either Brandstrom or Holden would come out, and I'm not sure if the coach is ready to do that. The interesting thing is, and keep this in mind, is they play tomorrow night. This is the first time the Senators will have their first back-to-back game scenario, and so they'll need fresh bodies perhaps for tomorrow, and maybe, you know, if Zaitsev comes in tonight, Nick Holden will be ready for tomorrow, or Brandstrom ready for tomorrow and a little bit fresher. So we'll have to wait and see. If Zaitsev's not in tonight, is there a better than average chance that he plays tomorrow on home ice? Yep. Or do you want him subjected to all that he's been through this year on home ice? We shall see.
Last one, real quick, just because it's over for this season. Some thoughts on Alex Formanton. He's not going to play in the NHL this year, Gord, as 5 o'clock came and went yesterday.
big loss for the Senators, no question about it. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall in any discussions that the team had with Alex and his representatives, because he's a big loss. And this is a, you know, he's a young player here. Nobody wants to lose a year of development. And if he heads in Europe, it's going to be a completely different experience for him. And if it's a negative one, you know, that just slows the development, in my opinion. So this is a tough one here for the Senators and their fans to miss one of the top penalty killers, obviously, on the team and in the league, and somebody with tremendous speed. And he scored 18 last year, guys, and probably could have had 25, if not more, if he had a little better puck luck around the net, because he had ample opportunity to pad those numbers with some breakaway chances that were missed. So he will be missed the rest of the season. He's been missed now and will be missed the rest of the season.
All right, we'll leave it there. Back at it tonight, though. We've got a pregame show coming your way at 5. Dean and Gord will have the call at 7 from Madison Square Garden here on TSN 1200. Thank you, Gord.
Thank you, fellas. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Gord Wilson joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. All right, still to come on the show, we'll get back to some of your text messages that have come in. And we went a little bit long there, okay? And we're going to be a short show again. We got a little World Cup coming your way at 2 o'clock, so we'll break away for that, and then after that it's a 1 hour edition of The Drive. And we can tell you, general manager of the Ottawa Red Blacks, Sean Burke, has been confirmed as a guest at 4:20. And in case you missed the news, like, well, why today? Bob Dice has been hired. Interim tag is gone. He is the new full-time head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks. We're back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.